T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You never know where Jason is. Where are you, Jason? Where are you these days?
I'm actually home today.
What?
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to be in Miami. I cut that trip short, and I had stuff to do around here. So I almost came in, almost.
Who turns down trips to Miami in March?
I know, right? I couldn't wait to get back to Cleveland, so I said, no, I'm good. I don't need to go to Miami. I'm good.
Were you there? Did you go there for a while and come home, or were you?
No, I was in New York for the Nets game. Right. I did a couple things in New York, and then I was supposed to go to Miami for tonight's game, and last minute changed plans and came home because I'm going to be gone a ton in March.
Yeah.
So I just kind of reshuffled some things a little bit.
Where'd you go to eat in New York?
I went to a place in Little Italy, Tomino.
Okay.
It was like a little tapas place. It was fantastic. It was
right.
Really, really good. And Theodore and I were going to go to, what's the burger place? PJ Melons, is that right?
I don't know that place. He mentioned it to me. I don't know.
We were supposed to go there,
yeah.
And we took an Uber all the way down there, and they were freaking remodeling it, and it was closed.
Oh, man.
So then we walked like 35 blocks from the cold back to the hotel with a couple different stops, like PJ Clark's. Then we went to the Nike store. He wanted to go buy these outrageous Nike shoes, and I just wanted to see the place.
How many shoes? How many pair of shoes does he have?
Oh,
well, he's a dink. He's double income, no kids. He can buy all the shoes he wants. I got 3 kids and
like that.
Tuition and everything else. I can barely afford the shoes on my feet.
I've been telling Fedor for a while. You got to go to DeForest Pizza in Brooklyn, and you got to go to Peter Luger's. Have you been to Peter Luger's, Jason?
I have not. I've heard amazing things about Peter Luger's, but I never went there. And all my trips to New York, we never went.
You guys got to go one of these days. All right. Anyway, a lot to talk about. Obviously, been big buzz all week that the Browns were about to make a big move. They did. It wasn't exactly the big move we thought or hoped for with Odell Beckham. They get Olivier Vernon, but they trade Kevin Zeitler. What's your take on this deal, Jason?
John Dorsey better be right about Austin Corbett.
Yep.
And, you know, you trust that he is. I like the move. Obviously, we've been talking for months about bulking up the pass rush and putting somebody, you know, giving Myles Garrett some help. So I get it. I totally get it. We've seen nothing of Austin Corbett. So you trust that, you know, Dorsey's hit just about 1,000 to this point. So you hope that continues because, you know, my battle cry has been surround Baker with as many weapons as you can. And part of that goes hand in hand with that is you got to protect him as well. And I thought they did a nice job, obviously, in the second half of the season of the protection improved. I think he did a better job of getting the ball out faster. But, boy, he took some pounding early on when he first took over. And you just hope if Dorsey's right and Corbett is what he thinks he is, then I think this is fantastic. And you just hope that he's right.
Yeah, if he's not, it's his legacy right now, this minute, is whatever Dorsey wants, Dorsey gets, and Dorsey wins with. But this, he's putting himself out on a limb on this one because he doesn't save any money. In fact, he loses some money on it. What he does do is move up, 20, maybe 25 spots in the third round. But he's messing with fire here with Baker Mayfield, who was protected as well as anybody, at least in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And again, go back and look. Those first, you know, there's a time where I was talking to people in the Browns saying he's getting hit too much. If you can't do any better to protect him than that, sit him down. And everybody thought I was crazy, but, you know, it goes back to he obviously is the future. He showed you enough he was the future. Now you have to protect him. And I thought they did a really nice job of that the last, I don't know, month or 6 weeks of the season. Now, how much of that was Baker getting the ball out faster? How much of that was the protections improving? I don't know. And, you know, yes, they did have a lot of money tied up on the interior line. That's true. And I just, the part that concerns me about it is I'm not sold on left tackle at all.
I mentioned that earlier because that's still a concern. Yeah.
So now you've weakened what was a strength, and you're not really sure what you have at left tackle yet. You know, maybe it's going to be okay. Maybe it's not. I just, I thought that there was other ways to go about improving the defense without weakening one of your strengths to this extent. But again, you know, if Austin Corbin is what they think he is, they'll probably be okay. But I just think I think it really thins out what was a strength. And it's just when you mix in the uncertainty at that spot along with the fact that you're not entirely sure of what you have at left tackle, there's certainly risk involved.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah,
you know, as I say, what's funny is the fact that this trade most likely feels like it's going to come down to not how either big name in the trade performs, but how Austin Corbin performs, as you referenced, because I would think that Zeitler's going to play really well for the Giants, and if Vernon's healthy, he'll play really well for the Browns. So now the question is, if Corbett plays not even as good as Zeitler, just plays good, solid guard play, right? Solid. Then to me, it feels like a great trade for the Browns. If he's a disaster and the one big weak link on the offensive line, the trade's a complete mess.
Yeah, I mean, we still have a long way to go. Who knows? They could come back and draft another lineman at some point.
Sure.
You know, or pick somebody else up and when free agency begins. So there's a lot of offseason to go. We're just at the beginning of it. I thought that there is probably better ways to improve the defense without stripping away at a strength like this. But we'll see. You know, let's wait and see until it's all over and see what other moves he has of his sleeve. I'm with you, Adam. As long as Corbett is what they think he is and left tackle holds, it's a great trade. But it's not hard to find a path to say that there's problems with this, that there could be problems, potential problems down the road.
You know, we didn't talk about this today, but maybe it's worth investigating that this is the first deal that's been made since Freddie Kitchens has been named coach, and it's taking away one of his strengths in the offense, and you wonder how the dynamics of that worked out. And obviously it's Dorsey calling the shots, but you wonder if the offensive part of Freddie Kitchens coaching, you wonder if wasn't totally behind it in the beginning.
I'm sure he probably, I mean, I would think that they're having a lot of the same conversations that we're having right now in terms of, and again, you know, Freddie was there all year. Freddie saw Austin Corbett practice all year. So he should have some sort of an idea of what this kid can do and whether or not he's ready. And now we'll see.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Jason, let's switch gears from the Browns to the NBA. We had Bill Plaschke on here yesterday. I don't know if you heard that by any chance.
I saw some of it on Twitter, but I did not hear it.
He was like, it was so funny to me because it was like he was so baffled about things about LeBron that I guess we in Cleveland thought was common knowledge, like his lack of leadership at times or, you know, and he was just like, was he like that in Cleveland? And it was so stunning to me. That, like, I guess we just assumed that everybody knew about it because the Cavs have been talked about a lot the last few years. And I guess, I obviously, this situation is worse. But are you surprised that some of the people in L.A. just didn't realize, like, that with mostly good with LeBron, there is some drama in the mix?
Yeah, I've kind of thought that all year. It's funny the way that the reporters have approached LeBron and some of the things that they've asked him, even going back to, like, hey, why do you wear two numbers? And what's with this different number in practice? And it's all the things that
bizarre.
Yeah, that you think people know, but I guess it's L.A. and no one in L.A. was paying attention to what was really, you know, you watch LeBron on the floor for 2.5 hours a night, but if you're living in L.A. and you've got the Lakers and the Dodgers and the sunshine and the beach, you're not really paying attention to the ins and outs, I guess, for the everyday grind. I'm surprised by everything that's happened since he got hurt. Like, I'm flabbergasted that it unraveled the way that it did. I never saw that coming. I thought for sure this is a team that was going to go to the playoffs and would really do well even in year one. That, I mean, certainly they weren't going to win a title. They weren't going to get through Golden State. But I think you're going to see a lot of changes in L.A. this summer. And you know, I've said it on a few times. I said on the morning show, too, when he first left to go there, the people around him were saying all along, hey, listen, you know, if this was just a quick ring grab, if all he wanted to do was chase rings and fall into another championship, he would go to Houston or Philly. But he knows it's going to take time in L.A., and he knows that it's going to be a little bit longer of a process, and it's going to take a lot longer than 1 year to get this right. So they were kind of saying that from the beginning, but, you know, I just thought that there was enough there, and with the talent that he has, that they, you know, to me, yes, the West is tougher, but I thought that they'd make the playoffs without an issue. And had he stayed healthy, I still think that would have happened.
my concern with LeBron has always been, is this the start of it? Is this the start of the breakdown? And I don't think he's been healthy since the groin. I thought when he came back, he still wasn't healthy. He doesn't have quite the same lift and explosiveness that we've come to see. And it was kind of like his first year back in Cleveland when his back was bothering him. And we were all looking around going, is this damaged goods? Is LeBron already kind of washed up a little bit? What's going on with his back? And then he went away for a few weeks, got himself straight, came back, and he was the LeBron that we all remembered. I would expect that to happen again. This will be the longest offseason he's had in quite some time, obviously. And I think that he will come back next year. I hope that he would come back next year looking as he did, in Cleveland and early on this season with L.A. And depending on what type of moves that they put around him. People who are writing off LeBron, I think it's a little bit too early for that. But it has been amusing to me to see how L.A. has reacted to him.
Yeah, and the way they reacted the other night when he passed Michael Jordan, I thought was interesting. And then how it's going to be as it runs on down toward Kobe Bryant and then ultimately against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's their guys, not LeBron is the outsider coming in.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate to me. I mean, the guy can do whatever he wants, but it would have been so much better had he been in Cleveland and passed that and passed Michael. The ceremony that could have taken place, the adulation that people would have given him. And it's funny because that's what he's always craved. He's always, for whatever he says, at the end of the day, he still wants to be accepted. He still wants to be loved, and he wants to be beloved. And that's why he had such a hard time with the way that he totally botched the first time he left, obviously, and the way that people reacted. He really battled that and struggled with that. And I just have to wonder, obviously I'm not around him all the time anymore, but I just have to wonder, especially with the way there was this sort of a chilly reception when he passed Michael, there's got to be part of him that knows and that wishes it would have been different. And I'm not saying that he regrets going to LA because I don't think that's the case, but there's a drawback to everything and there's a price you pay for everything. And certainly that's part of the price that he's paying them.
Jason, they're going to boo. If they don't play better next year, on the day he passes Kobe, they're going to boo him. Don't you think?
Probably. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't think there's any
question. Certainly there's at least a chance. But I think that they will be better next year. Let's wait and see. That's why I'm saying people who want to write them off and say this was a disaster to go there and nobody wants to play with them, you might be right, but I'm not ready to go that far. Let's wait and see what happens this summer. Let's see what happens in free agency, what they can get done. I still think that they're going to figure some things out. I'm not sure that he's going to win another championship, but I think that they're going to be certainly better than they were this year.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Jason, could you have imagined if 6 months ago I would have said to you in March, even though the Cavs are absolute garbage, that Kevin Love would be a happy camper and Kyrie Irving and LeBron James would be two of the most miserable people in the NBA?
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
It's strange. I think a lot of Kevin's happiness, I would call it peace more than happiness.
Okay.
I think he's just at peace, and I think a lot of that has to do with everything he's gone through over the last year and a half. I just think that it's a lot of self-realization, and he's happy with his personal life, and therefore that's given him peace because it's been a difficult year. With the foot injury and as much time as he's missed, all the losing, that's wearing on him. That still eats at him. So it's not like he's out here having a ball when they're getting their heads beat in, although they have obviously played much better of late with him healthy and on the floor. I just think he's at peace with where he's at in his life and his career. He's a champion. That's a really big deal to him. He obviously has the financial security of a second huge contract. So I just think he's in a really good spot mentally, emotionally, probably for the first time in his life. I had a good conversation with him a couple of weeks ago just talking about that.
Yeah.
And what's going on with Kyrie and LeBron? Kyrie, I guess I'm least surprised with Kyrie. I covered that guy since day one in the NBA, and it was pretty apparent then that he's just cut a little bit differently, and he just walks to his own beat. And all this talk about Kyrie wants his own team, he wants to lead his own team, and I just thought the whole time, okay, well, I want to give him the chance. I don't want to kill him before he gets the opportunity, but I certainly have my doubts because of the way that he behaved in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Boston writers, and they're saying, oh, he's been great. He's been great. Like, okay, well, let's see, because typically a tiger doesn't change the stripes, and eventually it's going to come out. And I think we're finally seeing that now. So I am least surprised with what's going on in Boston, I guess, it's just in terms of Kyrie and the moods that he can get in and the way that he can behave. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, here's a guy who doesn't want the publicity but doesn't mind being Uncle Drew and making $40 million
on
a movie. Hey, early before you came on, Jason, Bull and I were talking about Larry Drew, and Bull said he had no chance to return. Who do you think they'd be looking toward next year if it in fact won't be Drew?
Yeah, you know, Joe and I wrote a story, a month ago or so, and they're going to be, whoever they hire, more than likely, it's going to be a first-time coach. It's going to be someone who, with a developmental background, you know, either in the D League or the G League now, guys who have ties to the franchise will be looked at. A guy like Jordy Fernandez, who's on the Nuggets staff now, I think is going to get a long look. Jamal Mosley, Steve Hetzel. These are all guys who have ties to the Cavs. Adrian Griffin interviewed when Blatt was hired a few years back. He may get another look. And Alex Jensen. These are all guys who either coached the Canton Charge or were assistants on past Cavs staffs. They're young. They're looking for their first opportunity. Chris Jensen, another name I would keep in mind. Guys like that, I think, are going to be the priority. It's not to say they're going to ultimately get the job, but if I had to put money on it, those are the type of guys I would put money on, and I agree. Larry Drew and the staff will not be back. You know, they've lost three coaches since the beginning of the season off the staff. They haven't bothered to replace any of them. All of these assistants are in the last year of their contract. Larry, you know, has a small guarantee for next year, but they're all going to be swept out. Everybody knows the score. Everybody's pretty much aware that that's the way it's going to be, and they'll start fresh here with a new coaching search, you know, April, May, after the season's over.
Jason, enjoy the rare time at home, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.